This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Friday edition, Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you, going baseball heavy today. We got some big baseball news. We're less than a week away from the MLB trade deadline. A couple big deals have already gone down in the last few hours. We'll talk about Josh Naylor making his way to Seattle. A big trade for the New York Yankees as well that just broke in the last hour. We'll play a game of Rate That Prop with some Major League Baseball player props for tonight. And then we'll have some strikeout props in addition to all of Jeff's best bets for the Friday night slate. We'll sneak in some football as well. Coming up at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL, of course, former NFL quarterback for the Chicago Bears. He's joining us from Bears camp. We'll talk some Caleb Williams. We'll talk some DJ Moore, Ben Johnson, everything we need to know about this Bears team heading into 2025. But Jeff, good to be with you again, man. I know you're pulling double duty. You just got off SiriusXM. But some big baseball news that we need to discuss here. The Seattle Mariners, a buyer officially as the deadline approaches. They get Josh Naylor from the Diamondbacks last night. They're sending a couple of prospects, Brandon Garcia and Ashton Izzy, a couple of pitching prospects to Arizona in the deal. But, you know, when you look at this from a Seattle perspective, one, you know, it signals that this team, which is right in the thick of the AL wildcard race, is going all in, at least to some degree. But they were able to swing this deal without giving up any of their real prize prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as a fantasy guy, I hate the landing spot for Naylor, and I do have him in a couple of leagues. So going to Seattle, obviously from Arizona, that's going to be hurtful in terms of ballpark effects. But he's on a contender, which means maybe better, you know, he landed on a team that might provide some RBI opportunity, depending like if he hits before or after Rally or Julio Rodriguez, who homered yesterday. I think that it lengthens this lineup there. It's a great move for Seattle. It signals to us, and Arizona was a linchpin team heading into the trade deadline. Were they going to be buyers or sellers? They got swept at home by the Astros after sweeping the Cardinals. This means, you know, I think Eugenio Suarez is as good as gone. The Yankees won't be one of his landing spots. We know this now. More on that in a second. But there are many, many teams needing a third baseman. And so he's definitely going to go somewhere. I think Merrill Kelly will probably get dealt. Zach Gallen might be a little tougher to deal, but he could be gone. This is one of those teams that could have gone either way. We're looking at in a similar boat, we're looking at maybe the Angels, the Twins, you know, some of these other teams to see if they start selling as well. The Cardinals are another team that might be in that boat, but this is the first one. It's nice to see some early trades in advance of next Thursday's deadline. You know, it's here we go. I'm excited about it there. Mariners now, you know, plus 350, they win the AL West, should be a really good bet to make the playoffs though. I think that's the key. And that's the thing with baseball right now, six teams in each league make the playoffs. It's just making the tournament. We've seen this before, just get there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some things can fall out. Mariners have a good starting pitching staff that can carry you far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought it was worth noting that we didn't see, you know, immediate notable movement in the odds markets for the Seattle Mariners. Still plus 350 to win the AL West, 9-1 to win the AL. But that to make the playoffs number, Jeff, is what jumped out to me. Minus 240. Yeah. I mean, that is a hefty number. That seems a little aggressive to me for a team that is, you know, still chasing in its own division. They do currently occupy that second wild card spot in the American League, but it's not like you have a massive cushion, you know, over teams like Texas and Tampa Bay and Cleveland.
Yeah, and Texas is red hot too right now. This is a team that's finally starting to hit after being, you know, struggling to find its way. They've won 3 in a row, 8 out of their last 10. And Seattle is the second wild card, sure. Only a half game over the third wild card, the Red Sox. Only 2 games over the Rangers and the Rays. And 3.5 games over the Guardians. I think that's where you probably cut off the likely contenders. If you want to make a case for Kansas City or Minnesota, go ahead. Don't let me stop you. But I think that's where it stops for me. So we'll see. I mean, they're certainly, like you said, no way are they cemented in. I'll say this. Even the Yankees as the number one wild card, plus 106 run differential, they're only 2 games ahead of the Red Sox as the third wild card. They're not firmly safe either, especially with all their pitching attrition.
Well, speaking of the New York Yankees, Jeff, they did acquire a bat earlier today. They get Ryan McMahon from the Colorado Rockies. couple of prospects heading back to Colorado in return. You know, we talked about, you know, Arizona being one of those teams, Jeff, 5 games out in the wild card. And you know, it seems crazy to kind of reduce the season to 1 week. You get swept before the deadline. That does impact, I think, for some teams, the way that they think when you're up against it in terms of that deadline. You know, I felt to me like the Colorado Rockies could have gone either way, Jeff. You know, didn't know if they were going to be a buyer or a seller, but I think we can officially say Colorado is selling.
Hey, good on them this time to recognize that. A couple years ago, they didn't trade away Daniel Bard, who was their closer. Had a fun little story. So, hey, let's reward him. No, you always trade the reliever when you're in Colorado that's having the hot season. You're never going to get any better than that. They've learned at least that lesson. McMahon, you know, is not great. I don't really love his road game, for instance, there. I think, you know, you look at his numbers over his career. He's a good defender, however. And I think the Yankees had a very specific need. They really, after releasing DJ LeMahieu, they needed a third baseman badly. So I get it. I get why they did this. And he was one of the third basemen available. But my, oh my, 589 OPS on the road this year outside of Coors Field. I will say every single Rockies player has an accentuated bad number, because it's not just that they're not hitting in cores. There's been this effect that those first couple of days outside of playing in cores, you see the ball differently. It takes a longer time to adjust those. You know, anytime, you know, in DFS, we look at it's called Rockies Road. You attack the Rockies with the pitcher going against them in their first couple of games on a road trip in particular. So, and that obviously that means their hitters are suffering from that, but still, over his career, it's a smaller gap than it is this year in terms of home versus road OPS. And OPS is not a perfect number, but it'll serve our purposes for this standpoint here. This is an upgrade for the Yankees. I'm not sure if it's massive. I will say the guy they released, LeMahieu, also a former Rocky, his first 2 years as a Yankee were great.
Well, it's hard to look at what McMahon has done this year and be excited about it, right? I mean, hitting 217, he's leading the National League in strikeouts. But like you said, I think the defense is maybe what they're after. Third base was obviously a weakness for this Yankees team. But, you know, this is also potentially a longer-term commitment, right? There's 2 more years left on that contract beyond 2025. So I think you look at Naylor in Seattle as likely a half-season rental. Maybe they keep him around longer term, but that would be under a new contract, whereas you got 2 more years of Ryan McMahon. So Yankees, you know, not only adding for this year, but starting to look at the future as well. Folks, before we talk some football news, did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own draft strategy with our all-new Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence this season. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. If you go to rotowire.com, put in the code VSiN, V-S-I-N, put that in at checkout, you'll get 15% off any of our products over at rotowire.com. That's rotowire.com, promo code V-S-I-N. All right, Jeff. So yesterday we opened the show in a semi-panic about Justin Fields, because the dreaded cart was out for Fields. You know, finally found out that it was indeed a toe injury, no fracture, it wasn't the big toe. Essentially, this gradually became less and less concerning. Justin Fields was at practice earlier today for the New York Jets. Now, when you look into the details, he was not actually going through practice, but was still out there on the field. They're listing him as day-to-day, starting to look more and more like yesterday was more of a scare than anything else.
Yeah, indeed. And it's good news on that. I'm glad you mentioned it wasn't the Sergeant Hulka big toe. It was one of the other toes. We don't have clarification on which toe it was, but that's okay. I don't think I need to know that. I'm not a Ryan brother, so it's okay. I don't need to know these things. But let's talk about Fields and what he does for this offense and what it does for the rest of the team too in the offense there. You know, needing him on the field, he's going to be a running quarterback. They haven't had one in a few years. You know, Aaron Rodgers was the exact opposite of that. And I think, you know, Fields is going to open a few things up, namely for Breece Hall. We'll talk about Hall a little bit later on, late in the show. But I have some good vibes on Breece Hall because Fields is there. So I'm very grateful that this is pretty optimistic news. The cart portion of it there is, yes, he got off the cart. He walked to the locker room under his own power. He sat up front. It was like Jamal Charles 15 years ago getting carted off. Or maybe 10 years ago, getting carted off from a practice. It turns out that was a much scarier terminology than it really actually was.
I could tell that Jamal Charles incident is still haunting you, Jeff. I think anybody who was deep in the fantasy weeds, like that's like a, I remember where I was when that news broke type of situation on Jamal Charles. But yeah, taking a look at the Jets, you know, bigger picture, Jeff, 6.5 is the win total. It is juiced to the under. We talk about this being a really top heavy offense, and it's really two guys, right? It's Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. And, you know, we'll see what they get out of the rookie tight end, Mason Taylor from LSU. He certainly has his fans in the fantasy community, but I like this Jets team, I think, a little bit more than consensus. I think Justin Fields is a little more dangerous as a quarterback than we realize, especially when he has some semblance of job security. But man, if anything were to happen to Garrett Wilson, that's the primary concern. And Garrett Wilson has been extremely healthy so far throughout his career. I'm not putting any sort of jinx on him. I'm not saying he's going to get hurt, but the lack of depth in that pass catching core for me is a big, big concern.
Yep, I agree with you completely on that. And I also agree with you on the Jets generally. I am a little bit higher than the consensus on him. I'm also, especially, I'm more down on the Dolphins than consensus. I think I've made that pretty clear over the last couple of weeks. If you watch our training camp today, which you can still find on demand over on VSiNlive.com, you can see that I was definitely down on the Miami Dolphins. And Cover Your Ears producer Michael Cohen, I'm slightly down on the consensus on New England Patriots as well. I think that 8.5 number is a little too high considering our 4-win team last year.
Well, we'll talk some more football later in the show. Again, we'll have Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL, former NFL quarterback, joining us in about a half hour, talking Chicago Bears, talking NFC North, other big football news. But we're going to baseball when we come back. Rate that prop for Friday night slate coming your way next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Prop Points rolling along. Jeff, we are coming off of a slow sports day on Thursday. I just had nothing to watch late last night. Baseball's over. We only had 5 games on the slate. That is not the case tonight. Full Friday coming our way, big weekend in Major League Baseball. So we're going to play a game of Rate That Prop, taking a look at some numbers that our intrepid producer, Michael Cohen, has curated for us. Jeff, you know the drill by now. I'm going to give you a prop. You're going to rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. The higher the number, the more interested you are in making that bet. So we will start with a pitching prop. Brian Wu, over 6.5 strikeouts tonight, plus 110, going up against the Angels. What are we rating that?
We're rating this a 4. We're coming out hot here, Nick.
Oh,
I love Brian.
A rare 4.
Who doesn't love Brian Wu? You know, 6.5, it might be a little bit of a high number. I get that there. But, you know, the road numbers have actually stabilized. Before, he was really like thinking, okay, this is all T-Mobile where he's doing that. But the strikeout rate is about the same on the home and on the road. 68 strikeouts and 69 and two-thirds innings. If you assume he's getting at least 6 innings, I think he gets there. I think that's it. Angels, they don't strike out as much as they did at the start of the season, but they're still one of the biggest strikeout teams in baseball. I like a lot about this here. You know, weather won't be an issue. Now, that's one thing that we got going in our favor as opposed to some of these East Coast games tonight. I like a lot of things about this prop. We're giving it a 4.
All right, there we go. We had a lot of 2s and 3s earlier this week, Jeff, so good to get off on the right foot here. And you said Brian Wu, he's got to get to at least 6 innings. He's done it every single start this season, 19 straight for Brian Wu heading into tonight, again, against the LA Angels, that one out in Los Angeles. Let's go to another pitching prop here, Jeff. Zebby Matthews, over 4.5 Ks tonight. This is minus 160, home for the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, absolutely. And Zebby Matthews is a strikeout pitcher. In his 5 major league starts this year, 6, 4, 7, 9, and 5 strikeouts. So only once has he not hit this level. Why am I not higher than a 3 on this one? I'll tell you why. It's the minus 160 price. I hate any strikeout prop at that price. I think it's really tough to try to hit that there. You know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze is kind of my look on this one here. Keep in mind, too, weather on the East Coast might be an issue for a lot of these games. We're looking at, you know, a couple of games that's the issue. Actually, take that back. This is not one of the rain games. I strike that from the comment there. But I just think that the one thing you're worried about is, okay, the Nats have hurt some teams lately offensively. James Wood is obviously a great bat. CJ Abrams can get hot at times. Matthews did have a bad start in Coors Field. Even then, he still got the 4.5 strikeouts there. It's just minus 160. Price matters. I would almost, go look at the alt lines at 5.5K, see if you can get a much better price on that. I think that'd be the route to go instead of going and paying this minus 160.
Yeah, we're price guys. We're prop guys. We're not weather guys here on Prop Points, Jeff. Yeah. But great analysis nonetheless. So we're giving that one a 3 out of 5. We got one more pitching prop for you, Jeff, before we move over to the hitting side of things, taking a look at Yankees-Phillies. Big, big series going on in the Bronx this weekend. Will Warren, 3+ walks allowed tonight. This one, plus 145, again, taking on those Philadelphia Phillies. I know you're interested in this one.
Absolutely. Will Warren's walk percentage is 10.7%. That's a really, really high rate. So on average, that's suggesting if he goes any sort of depth into the game, he's going to get at least 3 walks. So you look at his last couple outings, 3 walks, 3 walks, 2 walks, 4 walks, 4 walks, his last 5 outings there. Plenty of walks to be had. The Phillies walk percentage in the last 30 days is 8.2%. That's a pretty healthy rating there. And you're getting a really good price at plus 145. To be honest, I probably should play walks allowed more often than I do. I feel like when I do that, I find pitchers with that 10% walk rate. I think you can almost lock. You can't lock it in. Obviously, Vegas would be just broke if you could lock it in. But I feel like there's at least maybe a smidge of an edge to be had in walks allowed. Whereas the strikeout props are usually pretty tight. The home run props, I mean, you're kind of running a lot of the variance game there a little bit. The walks, I think that's something that's a true outcome that might be bankable.
We'll take a look at some hitter props for tonight in just a moment. But first, folks, we got to tell you about ProfitX, one of our great partners here at VSiN. ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states across the country, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your picks against other groups of fans rather than against the sports books. And exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds over at ProfitX. So download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, earn up to 200 in profit cash over your first month. Go check it out. Download ProfitX right now. All right, Jeff, back to rate that prop. We're taking a look at some hitters for tonight. Ramon Laureano, 1+ RBI, plus 135 going up against the Rockies. Kyle Freeland on the hill tonight.
So at first glance, this should be like a 4 at least, because he's batting 4th in the lineup against a lefty. Now he's playing really, really good ball right now. My issue is I just think that RBIs can be a little variable to begin with. Laureano, actually, you would think, lefty versus a righty here, lefty pitcher versus a righty would be good, but he's actually been hitting righties better this year. By a significant margin. I was kind of surprised by that. So it's been a nice renaissance season for Laureano. He already has more RBI than he's had since his 2019 season. He's getting this buffet of playing time for the Orioles, hitting a good spot in the order. But the only thing holding me back is just, I'd like a little bit of a higher price. I'd like to, it's just kind of a feeling a little bit here too. I think you could get away with this one, so I'm not going to give it a 2 or anything. I'm just not rushing to the window to play it.
All right, we got to talk Shohei Ohtani, Jeff. Nobody is hotter than Ohtani right now. 5 straight games with a home run. We're not going to the home run market, though. We're looking at the over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI tonight going up against the Red Sox in Boston. Brian Bello on the hill. This one at minus 110. Rate that prop.
Shohei Ohtani's home run in 3 straight. One home run gets us there. And keep in mind, often he goes to left field with his home runs. In that whole series against the Twins, he was going opposite field with his home runs. That suits him well for playing in Fenway. Right field is actually a tougher place to hit home runs. Left-handed hitters don't always benefit from Fenway Park. But if you can put it over the wall the opposite way, like Ohtani can, then I think that helps quite a bit. You can even hit doubles off of that way. It leads to runs scoring with a pretty good offense. The thing that might hold you back is that Brian Bello is pitching very good right now. He's on a nice little roll. He hasn't allowed more than, he allowed 3 runs his last time out in six innings, against the Cubs. Not a bad outing. He hasn't allowed more than 3 runs in a long time since May 18th. So this is a guy that is pitching pretty good ball right now. That's why it's, why I'm stopping it from being a five-star play. I don't use the word five-star play. Trust me, I don't sell picks. But it is, I would rate this a 4. I am very enthusiastic about Ohtani and Fenway.
Yeah, I think the interesting with Ohtani during this run, Jeff, 5 homers in the last 5 games. He has one other hit that has not been a home run. It's like it's not like he's on a complete tear. It's basically just one home run
right.
per game. So I like Michael sneaking this one in, making us think a little bit. We've been talking a lot, Jeff, as the deadline approaches about Eugenio Suarez out in Arizona. I'll have a play on this Diamondbacks Pirates game later in the show. But we're looking at Suarez tonight just to hit a home run, +320. Diamondbacks on the road in Pittsburgh. Mike Burrows on the mound for the Pirates.
I'm gonna rate this as a 2, and there's a couple of reasons why. One, it's just Suarez's home road splits. This year, if you look at what he's done so far, he's got an 817 away OPS. That's not bad, but at home it's 1011. He's had 24 of his 36 homers at home. Pittsburgh isn't the greatest ballpark for right-handed power. I think that's one other thing that holds him back. The rain might hold him back a little bit, and he might get traded before the game even starts. He might get traded. We could be on hug watch with him now that the Diamondbacks have committed to selling. We're going to be watching this. You have to be paranoid about this. I would be avoiding all Eugenio Suarez plays in the next week until we get through the trade deadline.
All right, we got time for one more, Jeff. We do have a game in the afternoon window today in my home city of Milwaukee. Brewers looking to stay hot. They welcome the Marlins into town. Hopefully this is not a look-ahead series for the Brewers, Jeff, with the Cubs coming to Milwaukee on Monday. But Brewers, big favorites on the money line. I'm going to give you this one. Freddie Peralta, over 6.5 Ks this afternoon against the Marlins, +120.
He's only hit that number. Well, he's had it three out of the last 5, but then again, the three before those. So 3 out of the last 8, you would think he would have hit a little bit higher number on that one there. I'm a little surprised about that there. I'm going to rate it a 3. I think the Marlins on the road might strike out more than they do at home. I think that's part of it there. Why are they playing so early, by the way?
No idea. I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I wish I could say there was some like big event going on. Yeah, I wish I could say there was a reason for this. There is no other event that I know of that is transpiring in Milwaukee tonight. But our lone game in the afternoon window, Brewers. Yeah, Brewers in sole possession now of the best record in Major League Baseball. We're talking football with Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL when we come back here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you on this Friday afternoon. We're heading out to the Progressive guest line. Going to bring on our guy Jim Miller, former NFL quarterback, now a host over on SiriusXM NFL, doing the training camp tour. Jim, appreciate you giving us some of your time, man. I know you've been out at Bears camp this week, taking a look at what could be one of the ascending teams in the NFC. And obviously everything around this team centers around Ben Johnson. It centers around Caleb Williams heading into year 2. What have you seen from Ben Johnson specifically during your time in camp in terms of the impact and the changes that he's made for this team?
Yeah, I think he's a very stern coach. I think he's very firm about what he wants. But I think he understands, too, that they are in the infancy stage of what they are trying to build. It's kind of the irony. Earlier in the week, I did the Detroit Lions. Dan Campbell, where Ben Johnson comes from as their OC, formerly of the Lions, they're in year 5. That offense was humming. The defense was flying around. Here Ben Johnson arrives in Chicago, and that's why I use the word infancy. They're just getting started here, so it's not going to be at the level the Detroit Lions are at, and it's something that Ben Johnson is using as a standard to build to. So it's early in this regime change, and we'll see where it goes. But I do like his sternness, his firmness, and how he's bringing this team along.
Jim, one of the hallmarks of these Lions teams the last couple of years has been an elite offensive line. The Bears spent a lot of energy, focus, and capital on improving, especially the interior offensive line. How do you expect that to work this season? How quickly will it take for them to congeal?
Yeah, I think 4/5 of it is pretty solid. You know, I do like Darnell Wright as a right tackle. He's a good power player. You know, they spent a lot of money, obviously, in the trade and giving him a new contract in Joe Tooney, obviously with Drew Dolman coming in as a highly paid center from Atlanta as well. And Jonah Jackson, who they brought in, was in Detroit. He was actually a Pro Bowl player under Ben Johnson as a guard for the Detroit Lions. It's really the question mark is about the left tackle. You know, who's going to win that job? Is it Amagaji, a young, you know, Ivy League player drafted a year ago who played sparingly, and it wasn't good how he played? Braxton Jones has been there. Can he hold him off? And then they drafted Ozzie Zapillo, or Trapillo is his last name. He's from Boston College. I think he's got skill. He's played both right and left tackle, but is it enough for the blind side of a young quarterback in Caleb Williams, who led the team in sacks? I would think that'd be the one question mark heading into the season.
We're talking with Jim Miller, former NFL quarterback. You can hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Jim, you know, Ben Johnson is probably the biggest headliner right now in Chicago, but a close second is Caleb Williams. And obviously those two working in conjunction, I am of the belief that even if you are a little bit lower than market on Ben Johnson and his impact, it has to be better than what Caleb Williams was dealing with as a rookie. I think after the firing and after everything that came out, it was really revealed how much of a disaster this Bears team was. But, you know, being on the ground in Chicago these last few days, have you seen notable progression from Caleb Williams?
Yeah, and I think you're all over it. I think the general manager, Ryan Poles, admitted, hey, they were steps missed in Caleb Williams' development. And I think that's what Ben Johnson's trying to hammer home, is that there will be no missteps. You need to run this offense the way I've laid it out, how I need you to execute it, you know, situational play, and how we need you to perform as a quarterback. And a lot is going to be on Caleb Williams. He has to prepare. He has to study. He's going to have to go the extra mile. You know, it's his talents, which are great, and he is a very talented young man. That's not enough to get you by in the NFL. You better do extra to make sure you know the ins and outs of this offense and what's required to execute it. You know, Jared Goff, again, that was the number one offense in the NFL a season ago by Ben Johnson and the Detroit Lions. And Jared Goff is nowhere near ability-wise as Caleb Williams. Where Jared Goff excels is knowing the ins and outs, you know, knowing defenses, knowing coverages, knowing checking out of plays. And that's where Caleb really has to improve. He's got to put the work in. But I think the coach is excited to work for him. And I think Caleb is excited to receive the coaching, because he will be challenged by Ben Johnson.
Jim, you're in the middle of your training camp tour. I think you're going to go see the Saints soon. You've seen the Lions already. What are you looking for when you're on the ground there? What can you see at training camp that one can't get just from reading reports? What are you looking to see?
Yeah, well, certainly when they're in pads, you want to see the physicality. You know, like that's what I missed in Detroit, is they did not have the pads on, but they were very physical, flying around. You see the mentality, because there you worry about, you say, Frank Ragnow retiring. Is the young Ratledge, you know, the Georgia player, going to be as strong as Frank Ragnow? And will their play action run game be as good as what it was? So I think the physicality, it's always good to see them in pads. And then again, I just think that the compare and contrast. You know, for me, it was easy to see from Detroit and Chicago that this is a first-year head coach, first-year, you know, new defensive coordinator in Dennis Allen. He's not a first-year guy. He's 23 years experience in the NFL, but they're installing everything new. So they are behind the eight ball. They're not going to be as far along as, say, a veteran team like the Detroit Lions going on their fifth year. And, you know, playing more, just how players interact with each other, how the coaches coach, how do they take to the coaching, you know, how hard they work. I think their mannerisms and the feel you get for a team as a practice goes along, and just, you know, how they come together overall. Is this a team of unity, you know, or are they fighting one another when they're out there just trying to worry about themselves and keep a job? Because at the end of the day, it's about the team. This is the ultimate team sport. and it takes an entire team, an entire building to win.
So, Jim, we've talked about the Lions. We've talked about the Bears. I know you have your finger on the pulse of the entire NFC North. I think the other two teams, Green Bay and Minnesota, might be the two most difficult in that division to figure out for this season. I've been trying to go through, do my power rankings, looking at the division odds, and I can't decide which of those teams I like more. Obviously, you have a big question mark at quarterback in Minnesota. You know, I think you have question marks really all over the roster, but especially at wide receiver and in the defensive backfield for the Green Bay Packers. So if I told you that, all right, the Lions will win the division again, but one of those two teams will finish second, who do you like more between Green Bay and Minnesota?
Well, you'd like to say Green Bay because of the experience of the quarterback. He has, Jordan Love has led them to the playoffs, you know, and they were much better defensively under Jeff Hafley, the defense coordinator who came in a season ago from Boston College. They were top five in both offense and defense. And they don't have, say, legit stars per se. Like, you can't say, oh, who's their – Rashawn Gary's just a dominator as an edge rusher. I think they're good, you know, but there's really no stars to take the next step. As for Minnesota, you know, you'd have to say for them it's a quarterback. I'm with you. I like their roster. I really do. I think they got a lot of good players that and can put up a lot of points. You know, you got stars like Justin Jefferson and Addison. And I think defensively, you know, Flores does a great job, but because of the youth of McCarthy, that leaves a lot of question marks. He has not played. He has not taken a snap. We hear, you know, it's like Bigfoot. We hear all these rumors, but nobody sees them, you know? So we have yet to see it, but they do have a very good roster. And I think the entire NFC North all are pretty good roster wise. It's really how those young quarterbacks perform for the other three outside of the Lions.
We're talking with Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Jim, the Raiders are embroiled in a very interesting situation with Christian Wilkins, dealing with his foot injury, just released him. There's a grievance by the Players Association. This is getting pretty messy. What's your thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, if the team asked him to get surgery and he didn't get surgery, I mean, certainly there's a case to be made. But, you know, also obviously for Christian, he's got his rights too. If he thought that it was going to be healthy and then he didn't want the surgery and now it's progressed, I think that both sides have a case and we'll see how it really works out in arbitration. I have been released injured by a team before and I didn't file a grievance. I moved on, you know, cause I knew it wasn't worth it, but clearly they felt that he should have been further along with his injury. I think you do see teams pushing back a little bit more on those injuries, players who haven't been rehabbing properly. You look at the Cowboys just fined Trayvon Diggs $500,000 for his contract because he wasn't there rehabbing properly. Because at the end of the day, your body's your resume, and you got to take care of it, you know, team-wise, and I think personally as a player, you got to take care of it. Otherwise, you're going to run into these contractual issues moving forward.
Jim, awesome, awesome stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join us. Let everybody know where they can follow you on the training camp tour.
All right, guys. Yeah, we'll just be here serious. We'll be making a trip. We'll be at New England Patriots camp on Monday. Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
There we have it. Jim Miller, everybody. We'll be right back on Prop Points. Major League Baseball plays coming your way next.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson closing out the show with some best bets for you. Talk through tonight's Major League Baseball slate. We're bringing you up to the top of the hour. Ariel Epstein coming your way next. She's hosting Make It Rain in for Adam Schein. She'll have MLB props. She'll have a bunch of betting angles coming for you for a big weekend in baseball. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard. That's coming your way at 4 p.m. Eastern. And make sure you stick around for VSiN Primetime starting up at 7. Jeff, just had a great conversation with Jim Miller. He was boots on the ground at NFL training camp. And what a perfect segue to tell you about the fantastic VSiN NFL betting guide. It's out right now, and our all-new college football betting guide drops on August 5th. That is less than 2 weeks from now. You want access to both? Sign up for the football special and get everything VSiN Pro has to offer across all sports from now through the Super Bowl for just $175. This limited time offer gets you a daily best bets email from all of our hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app. Plus, you'll get full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro betting systems. But don't wait. This early bird pricing expires July 31st. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your football special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Jeff, let's take a look at the Friday baseball slate. I do want to issue a correction off the top. You asked me earlier, why is this Brewers-Marlins game the only afternoon game today? Why is this starting at 3:10 local time? Well, I can tell you, Jeff, it is the 25-year celebration of what they are now calling, some are calling, American Family Field. Those in Milwaukee still call it Miller Park. So they're starting the game early, and after the game, there will be a special alumni home run derby going on. I am told this will involve names like Ryan Braun, Carlos Gomez, Prince Fielder, Yovani Gallardo. I don't know if he's hitting. I don't know if he's pitching, but he's going to be involved somehow. Bill Hall, Corey Hart, Casey McGee, the great Niger Morgan, who is still a legend in the city of Milwaukee, and even Eric Thames. So that is why that game is starting early. We have our answer.
You know, it's funny. I heard someone talk about Eric Thames just last week and saying he's still jacked. He is still like this huge muscular dude. I don't know how that came up. I forget the context. Like, how often do you talk about Eric Thames in the year 2025, but still jacked?
Yeah.
And looking to see him hit some jacks. And I do remember Gallardo being a good hitting pitcher too.
I would be shocked if Eric Thames is not like totally yoked at any point in his life. Right. I think he's one of those guys that's just going to be there. It's, you know, you see these NFL offensive linemen who will retire. And then a year later, you know, they've lost like 150 pounds. No, that's not happening to Eric Thames. We need to get odds, by the way, on this Brewers alumni home run derby, not currently up right now at the DK Sportsbook. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that game later on, Jeff. Got to get all your best bets for tonight. Let's start with Diamondbacks and Pirates. Talked a little bit about this one earlier in the show. This is Ryan Nelson going up against Mike Burrows. Looking at a money line play here.
Yeah, we are. And I thought about the over on this one, but the threat of rain, first of all, kind of chills my enthusiasm a little. The possibility of hug watch also kind of chills my enthusiasm a little bit on this one. The Pirates are the Sybil of baseball. They get swept at home by the White Sox, but then they turn around and sweep the Detroit Tigers. They had another series like that earlier this year where they held the Cardinals scoreless for an entire series. They're actually 29-24 at home. Arizona just got swept by Houston. They just traded away Josh Naylor. And yet, because of the pitching matchup, Ryan Nelson, really pretty good for the most part, is the favorite here. Nelson on the road, though, 5.79 ERA, 1.35 whip. Nick, I'm going to bet the Pirates money line. I feel weird doing that there. A team 20 games below 500, but I like him at -109.
I don't think those three words have ever been spoken consecutively on this show, Jeff. Bet, Pirates, money line. But here we go. It's the first time for everything. You get the Pirates at a pretty good price here, -109. Phillies, Yankees, one of the bigger series of the weekend. Taijuan Walker going up against Will Warren tonight. Do have the Yankees favored at home. I know you're looking at something for Taijuan Walker and for Will Warren. So what do you like in this pitching matchup?
So first of all, another rain in the forecast sort of game. Friday we're tasked to do a couple strikeout props. I kind of like the Taijuan Walker alt line strikeouts at over 4.5. I don't think you're getting a good payout at the actual over under of 3.5. So I'm going to do the alt line instead, +155. Yankees are striking out a bunch right now. I'm not sure if Ryan McMahon gets there in time for this game. We'll see. That trade just happened this morning. Rockies, if I recall, where were the Rockies? I think the Rockies were at home. Yeah, the Rockies were at home earlier this week. So I don't know if the travel-wise, if we'll be able to get there in time, get all set up for this game. I'm not sure if it even matters in terms of the strikeout line here. But Walker's not a huge strikeout guy. That's why it's such a low line to begin with there. I also like we talked about the Warren's walks earlier there. Will Warren over 2.5 walks allowed, +145. That's going to be an official play. So kudos to Michael Cohen for doing rate that prop that turns into a Jeff play.
There we go. Not surprised. Michael Cohen's been running hot lately, Jeff, giving us these props. Another big series between a couple of interleague teams. The Dodgers are in Boston this weekend. Dodgers, you know, back on the right side of things, but I think still feeling like there's room for improvement. Certainly would expect that to be the case with the deadline coming up next week. We got Emmett Sheehan taking on Brian Bello tonight. Interesting pitching matchup.
Yeah, it surely is. Brian Bello, last 30 days, 306 ERA, 099 whip. That's pretty darn good. The Red Sox just lost Marcelo Meyer to a wrist injury. He's going to go on the IL, so that's a tough break for them. Emmett Sheehan, I really like Emmett Sheehan. I think this might be a tough ask. Your red-hot Milwaukee Brewers did him in last time. Five runs allowed. It was his one bad outing. He had three good outings before that. But Boston, man, they're so good offensively lately. Last 30 games, 342 WOBA at second in baseball, 115 WRC+. That factors in park factor a little bit. So it's only fifth in baseball as far as that goes. Boston at home, 345 WOBA, third in baseball in terms of home WOBA. They like hitting at home. They're a good hitting team. I know Meyer being out hurts them a little bit. I don't think it's a really drastic hurt, though. I like the Boston money line again here. I'm going to take the team that's not the favorite, minus 102. They've got the better pitcher going. They're at home where they hit well. Dodgers aren't even playing that well right now anyhow. It's not getting plus odds, but still minus 102. Let's go ahead and take that.
Dodgers hitting 215, Jeff, as a team over the last month. So, not the Dodgers that we are used to. Let's take a look at your team, Cincinnati. They are home for the Rays this weekend. Zach Littell taking on Nick Martinez tonight. Had some good luck last night, Jeff, with Dinger Thursday. What are we doing here for a heat check?
All right. So, first of all, I'm going to kudos to you for getting Randy Arozarena. You only did one dinger and you got it. You nailed it. We also got Brendan Donovan yesterday at plus 500. We got J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez at, I think, 425, if I recall correctly. I might not be right about that number, but we are going to go back to the well. We're going to do one dinger Friday. It's going to be against Zach Littell, who has allowed 24 homers this year, 16 on the road. You know, you think, okay, yeah, they're playing that ballpark at Steinbrenner Field. That's where he's given up all those homers. No, 16 of his 24 have been on the road. So tried to find a red with a decent price. I think you could look at Tyler Stevenson. You could look a lot of different ways. If you wanted to go Ellie, I wouldn't blame you, but you're not getting a great payout there. It's less than 3-1 odds. So I'm going to go Noelvé Marte. Good hitter who's missed a lot of time this year. Plus 500. Let's go Dinger Friday, Noelvé Marte.
Let's do it. Fire it up, Jeff. We got a couple more plays coming your way. Our G-Bank best bets of the night. Introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a G-Bank Visa signature card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll get $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and Visa completes the trifecta with a free six-month Visa Pro subscription. That's the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and Visa. Head to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. This one-time promo is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Jeff, you briefly teased this in like the first minute of the show. You said, well, we'll have something coming for the New York Jets. So we're getting a football future in for your G-Bank best bet.
Yeah, earlier on the SiriusXM Fantasy Show with Mario Puig, we were spending some time talking Breece Hall. I really like the over 900.5 rushing yards, minus 110. Rushing quarterbacks help running backs. You look at the rest of this running back room, I'm not buying the scare talk about Braylon Allen. Give me some Breece Hall. I think he gets a lot of extra room to run this year. Love it. Over 900.5 rushing yards.
All right, Jeff, I'm feeling it right now after that Arozarena hit yesterday. We got not one, but two baseball plays for you. Dodgers, Red Sox, under 9.5 tonight. That's at minus 112. Emmett Sheehan, yeah, worries me a little bit. Did get rocked by the Brewers last time out, but I think he bounces back here. Dodgers not doing a whole lot offensively, hitting 215 as a team in the last month, second worst in baseball. And then we're looking at D-backs, Pirates, under 9, fading Arizona, fading that offense specifically after the trade. They know there might be some other pieces on the move, and obviously we don't expect the Pirates to do a whole lot offensively. So under 9 there, under 9.5 in the other. That's going to do it for us here on Prop Points. Make it rain coming your way next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.